Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth will travel to Guantanamo Bay today, where suspected illegal immigrants who have been deported from the United States by the Trump administration are being held. The visit comes amid reports. The Trump administration has halted its efforts to house migrants in tents, there after concerns they do not meet detention standards because they do not have either air conditioning or electricity. The move also comes as a group of Senate Democrats, led by Dick Durbin of Illinois, sent a letter to President Trump challenging the transfer of migrants to the detention center in Cuba. In the letter, the senators called the move, quote, unprecedented, unlawful, and harmful to American national security, values, and interests. The Democrats say immigration law does not give the federal government authority to detain migrants. After they've been removed from the United States and say once a person has been taken out of the U.S., there's no basis in American law to keep that person in custody. However, the Trump administration seems unfazed. Defense Department officials confirm more than 200 additional U.S. troops have been deployed to the base in Cuba to support the detention of migrants there, bringing the total number of troops there to about 1,000. According to the Defense Department website, Hegseth will receive briefings and meet with troops at Guantanamo Bay. It says the secretary's trip underscores the department's commitment to ensuring the security and operational effectiveness of Guantanamo Bay Naval Station. A federal judge has temporarily blocked immigration agents from making arrests in or near certain places of worship after President Trump reversed a Biden-era rule barring immigration arrests at protected locations. But the new ruling is not a complete ban. The order states that the Department of Homeland Security, ICE, and U.S. Customs and Border Protection cannot conduct immigration raids near any of the plaintiff's places of worship or risk being held in contempt of court. Monday's order does not keep ICE from acting on administrative or judicial warrants. The lawsuit challenged the directives of acting Homeland Security Benjamin Huffman, which rescinded a 2021 directive that restricted ICE arrests from sensitive areas. The suit contended any government policy exclusively based on common sense constituted an unconstitutional infringement on freedom of association under the First Amendment. It also stated that the policy violated the Religious Freedom and Restoration Act and the Administrative Procedure Act. Lawyers for the congregations argued many immigrants are simply afraid to attend religious services. Five Quaker congregations, a Georgia-based cooperative Baptist fellowship, and a Sikh temple filed the suit in January. Monday's decision orders the Trump administration to reinstate the 2021 memorandum when pursuing ICE actions at the three faith communities named in the lawsuit. The original memo barred immigration arrests at certain protected locations, specifically churches and schools. More than two dozen Christian and Jewish groups representing millions of Americans have also filed a similar but separate lawsuit in the state of Washington. Acting on President Donald Trump's orders, immigration officials detained and deported more than 37,000 immigrants in the president's first month in office. The Department of Homeland Security's directive had previously stated that criminals would no longer be able to hide in America's schools and churches to avoid arrest. In his ruling Monday blocking some of those immigration enforcement actions, the judge wrote that anyone who violates the injunction will be subject to, quote, all applicable penalties, including contempt of court, now to efforts to end the war between Russia and Ukraine. As negotiations continue between the Trump administration and Ukraine over continued American military assistance in exchange for access to Ukraine's rare earth minerals, Russia is now offering up its own resources, saying it's open to economic cooperation with the United States. Moscow's comments came after President Trump said he's in serious discussions with Russia about ending the war and is trying to do some economic development deals with Russia, specifically mentioning the country's massive rare earth deposits. During a video call Monday, Russian President Vladimir Putin urged officials to increase production of rare earth minerals, saying he wants to create a strategic reserve which will be vital for Russia's future competitiveness and economic development. Meanwhile, at a joint press conference with French President Emmanuel Macron at the White House, President Trump said he expects Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky to agree to give the U.S. access to its minerals. The president insists Ukraine owes the United States payback for tens of billions of dollars in aid. Trump said, in fact, He may come in this week or next week to sign the agreement. So the agreement's being worked on now. They're very close to a final deal. It'll be a deal with rare earths and various other things. And he would like to come, as I understand it, here to sign it. And that would be great with me. I think they'd have to get it approved by their council or whoever might approve it. But I'm sure that will happen. During Macron's visit to the White House, he praised President Trump for taking steps to end Russia's war against Ukraine, but urged him to be careful in the negotiation process, saying the U.S. and France need to work together to determine lasting future security guarantees. Their meeting came on the third anniversary of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, as the U.N. General Assembly overwhelmingly approved a resolution drafted by Ukraine condemning Russia as the aggressor in the war. The U.S. joined Russia and 16 other countries in voting against the resolution. During his visit with Macron, Trump was also asked about an email sent from Elon Musk to federal employees over the weekend, demanding they list their top five accomplishments on the job last week. Trump defended the move, calling it genius and saying it was a great way of ferreting out those who do not show up for work. However, the Office of Personnel Management, which sent the email on behalf of Musk, the Department of Government Efficiency Chair, told executive branch officials, "Yesterday, individual agencies can decide how to respond, and it's voluntary. Adding failure to do so will not be considered a resignation, despite a previous threat from Musk that employees who refused could lose their jobs." Federal workers initially had until 11:59 last night to respond. No word yet how many workers actually did. It's the final week of February, and President Trump says that starting soon, the United States will impose tariffs against both Canada and Mexico. He had delayed them by about 1 month, but now the March 4th deadline is approaching. The president has called for tariffs of 25% on imports from Canada and Mexico on everything from cars to energy that he says would level the playing field when it comes to Americans' top two trading partners. This comes after both Mexican and Canadian leaders have announced efforts in the past month to beef up border security and try to halt the dangerous drug fentanyl from coming into this country. Critics believe a trade war could hurt the U.S. economy and drive up inflation. During the joint press conference at the White House with French President Emmanuel Macron Monday, Trump said the tariffs are going forward on time, on schedule. Macron weighed in, saying he hoped a trade war could be avoided. Meantime, Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum said late Monday she hoped to strike a deal with the White House later this week to avoid the tariffs. "Finally this morning, it's real, this time or so. Fire Festival 2, organizer Billy McFarland says, and tickets are now on sale. They'll set you back anywhere from $1,400 a person to more than $1 million each. But don't worry, this time it will be worth it," McFarland says. So far, it's not clear what exactly festival attendees are getting for their money. The festival site promises arts, cuisine, music, comedy, fashion, gaming, sports, and treasures. But no musical artists have committed to performing at the three-day event, which will be held in Mexico. That's raising eyebrows after the infamous first Fyre Festival turned out to be a scam, and McFarland served 4 years in prison for defrauding investors out of more than $27 million.